This is a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. Go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Hi, I'm Kim Salmon. I'd like to have a quick word about public radio, particularly 3CR. The thing about public radio is that it's more open than the more formatted types of radio to what's going on around it. So when you listen to it, you're more likely to hear a reflection of real life. And 3CR, being in the heart of Smith Street, Collingwood, is a particularly good example of what I'm talking about. If you'd like to subscribe, the number is 94198377.
You've been listening.
The Tibetan Book of Bicycle Maintenance. Number 1. Do not pay attention or investigate. Leave your mind in its own sphere. Number 2. Do not see any fault anywhere. 3. Do not take anything to heart. 4. Do not hanker after signs of progress. 5. Although this may be called inattention, do not fall prey to laziness. Number 6. Be in a constant state of inspection.
Well, we know where we're going, but we don't know.
The Tibetan Book of Bicycle.
Where we've been. And we know what we're knowing, but we can't say what we've seen, and we're not.
Yes, that future has turned from 2025 to 2026, past summer solstice, Saturnalia, on our way to Easter. Welcome to the Yarrabug Radio Show, here on Radical Radio 3CR. Podcasting, streaming, or listening on that old AWA transistor in the kitchen. And a little bit of a summer show coming up today. We're going to look at a couple of cities, how they work, how they implement bicycle infrastructure, and what happens when it comes in. Many thanks. It's not Amy Goodman and Democracy Now, but a wonderful collection of little vignettes, actually, just before the show. And for our summer specials, I'm joined by the Melbourne Bug convener, Nick Dow. Good morning, Nick. And apparently we have a couple of canine... Nick, I'm going to start that again because I didn't have your microphone. Good morning, Nick Dow from Melbourne Bug.
Oh, it's still a good morning.
Yes, it still is. And we've got a couple of puppies in the studio, which I might get in trouble for, but... And they are...
They are.
The names of the dogs.
Oh, well, there's Nyla that lives with me always, and there's Stella who's visiting for a month.
There we go. Just in Melbourne for the holidays.
Yep.
All righty. Look, Nick, why don't we just drive... I'll do my bike moment first before we get along the road. Well, that's a funny expression, isn't it? Always this week, Christmas to New Year, is some of the nicest riding around Melbourne because... You've got not a complete lack of traffic, but obviously the volume's way down low. And just thinking as this morning as I was riding in, the thing that I've noticed myself is it takes away all that bit of internal angst, actually, a little bit as you're riding along. It doesn't take you long to become accustomed to that silence. You can actually hear a car from 100 metres behind you. But it's interesting how I find, obviously, the stress level... The cortisol in the system just drops a bit when I know there's not many cars around.
Yeah, too right.
It's always lovely this time of the year. Whether your commute has become very relaxed or actually you're riding for a fair bit of recreation and just pleasure, it is one of those weeks to really enjoy. And you've got something to share with us?
A bike moment?
Yes.
Well, last night, about 20 of us caught the train to Laverton and we rode
down. Don't tell me you did the full moon ride.
We did the full moon ride. We didn't see the moon.
Didn't come up till 9 on the clouds.
It was still very nice. We went down the Laverton Creek. We went along the bay and looked at the lights. Very beautiful. Stopped at Williamstown for a snack. And we rode back into town along the Valloway. So we turned right across the Maribyrnong River at Shepherd's Bridge.
Yep.
And for many of us, including me, it was the first time I'd been on it. And my big criticism of the Valloway is you have to go up and down and get over the road and go under the road and all that. But actually, it follows the grade of the elevated road. So, and of course, the roads always get a nice even grade.
Yep.
So it's actually not too bad. It's a bit boring. I've heard that it's very smelly at times, but from the cars, but it's not too bad. Very nice evening. And if you want to come on rides like that, you can just subscribe on bikefun.org, BIKEFUN.org.
Yep.
And we'll send you very occasional emails.
And that has been, how long has Bike Fun been going for? Best part of 20, 23 years or something.
It's really the recreational side of the critical mass crowd.
Yeah.
Originally.
Yeah. So that's good. I'm glad to see it. And if anybody, I'll put a link up to it in the podcast. Because you're doing regular full moon rides now.
Oh, no, irregular. But you'll find out, it'll remind you about when critical mass is on, because that's also not every month.
Yeah.
And, you know, great ride of return and anything else that we find out about, we'll put there. And if you can list your rides there too, if you let us know.
That's a good website to keep in amongst your favourites, because always something a little bit local involved in it. Look, I rode that. Is there a name for it apart from the Dixon Valloway?
It's the Dixon Valloway. So I forget her first name.
So do I. Wish they'd what?
She was a champion woman cyclist.
I know, she'd been on 3CR on this radio show.
Yeah, I guess this show knows a lot about her.
Yeah, well, we do. Yes.
Because Faith uncovered all of these details. So it's not named after Brian Dixon, who was the best ever roads minister for bicycles ever in Victoria, and a Lib.
I'm sure I had a name here. I'm sorry. Anyway, we should move on. Your R a bit lower. You're going to get a fair bit of unburnt fuel smells from the top. But it's it's interesting. I thought that they've got a couple of, you know, on the small bridge that comes after it. So if you're coming from the west across and then you come down the other side and then use the other bridge to get across to the Dockland side.
Yeah, there's a bridge.
The North Melbourne Railway Line bridge, other one.
It comes out, the Valloway comes out in Footscray Road, and then there's a bridge that gets you across Footscray Road if you can't be bothered using the traffic lights, but that is a hill.
Yep. And interesting, there are actually flat spots in it on the way down and on the ascent both sides. And somebody asked me why they were there. And I said the only thing I can think of is that it's there to stop people speeding too much on the way down.
No, I think it's a requirement for people in wheelchairs and the like to have a spot where they can rest and not roll down the hill.
So why is there not? So there's not one on the other. It's not designed like that, the new one, though.
Yeah, well, maybe one is one's a shared path and one isn't.
Anyway, it was just an observation. Interesting texture on the floor. It's not asphalt, it's some sort of rubbery composite or something like that. You do have a bit of a view. I was worried that they'll just enclose you completely and you wouldn't have much of a view of where you are. But that seems to be not too bad. Look, it's it was built because the legislation says you change that road, you've got to change the bicycle path, isn't it?
Yeah, well, if only that was implemented always.
I know.
Yeah.
So that's where it comes from. That's where the implementation is.
So the only way we're going to get a decent network of bike lanes is to build freeways everywhere.
I think that's and that's where we should start. Nick, look, we're going to just take our sponsorship break and we'll be back and we're going to delve into what sometimes makes cities
more possible.
And more possible. So let's just go to this first.
Yarrabug would like to thank Bicycle Network for their financial support. Bicycle Network, a not-for-profit with 45,000 members, working to get more people riding for their health and well-being. Bicycle Network is proud to sponsor the Yarrabug program and support its important advocacy for safer and more accessible riding. By becoming a Bicycle Network member and or participating in one of their iconic riding events, you're supporting Bicycle Network's Ride to School programs and advocacy campaigns to make it easier for everyone to ride a bike every day. Visit bicyclenetwork.com.au for more information.
You're back. You're listening to Yarrabag Radio Show. I'm going to tell you a story about the McGuinness Boulevard. This is a road in New York City that connects Brooklyn to Queens. Okay, so this probably started off in about 2022. The plan was, I love this American euphemism, I should call it. They were going to do a traffic diet on it. So it's proved to be a very dangerous road for pedestrians. I think there are 5 killed on this road in a matter of 4 or 5 years. And haven't got a good record on pedestrian deaths in America. But anyway, I'm not going to get too away from the point. So they came up with the plan, taking one lane of car traffic off either side, creating better protection for pedestrians and a separated bike lane. So anyway, this all got through. Now we get to Mayor Adams, who was then the Lord Mayor of New York. He put a spike in it, and it ends up that actually one of his workers is under fraud charges for accepting money to stop one side of the separated bike lane. So it got stopped. I hadn't heard the fraud charges yet. Obviously, Mr. Adams is not the Lord Mayor of New York anymore, but the new Lord Mayor, Sharon Mamdani, comes in, and yesterday he signed the order that will now finish that bicycle pathway. So this is day 2 of his new mayoral reign. So this is interesting to see how you change the personnel in a city, especially the mayor, and this is dependent on how much power the mayor has. But it's interesting watching this one project go through design, kick back against it, then actually defeating half of it, and then a change of personnel, and now we're back with the original design. It's interesting when you look at something like that. You look at, I'm going to say, Sadiq Khan in London. I'm going to say Annie Ago in Paris. I'm going to say Clover Moore in Sydney. Sometimes I know all cities are different and the circumstances are different, but it's interesting to watch how some of the more bike-friendly international cities seem to always have somebody at the top who is sympathetic to the idea of pedestrian, cycling and active users instead of cars. How would you rate Melbourne's new mayor?
Ha. Oh, no, we could spend a whole program.
Well, you've got 15 minutes.
in brief, our new Lord Mayor, who was the previous Deputy Lord Mayor, is an ALP-trained spin master.
Yeah.
So he's all about, we're very friendly to bikes, we're going to do things for bikes. But that's the public face. His Deputy Lord Mayor is the most anti-bike, terribly right-wing liberal, who's voted against her own team in the previous council on numerous occasions whenever bike lanes came up. It was often a 10-to-1 vote. How do you square that circle? And he needed her and his team to get elected because of the business gerrymander. So, look, they've let the cat out of the bag in the works plan, which says that the 5-year work plan, which says that it has changed from 5 new kilometres of protected bike lane each year. It's changed to 5 new or improved kilometres of protected bike lane. And what does the improvement mean? Could mean they get narrower. What's on the work program for this year is, is in Exhibition Street, where a material of recycled materials have been used that are very quick and cheap to put in and to repair. They're going to be replaced with very expensive bluestone, no benefit to people on a bike. The key thing is that what they don't want to do is take any space away from cars, because then they get the backlash. But on the other hand, they'll spend useless amounts of money on doing anything but that. So that's the story in the city of Melbourne.
I'm going to ask you questions about this. So is there, I mean, there's obviously a fair bit of difference between the reach of power that somebody like Clover Moore has in Sydney as compared to Melbourne. And look, those three mayors of international cities I've already mentioned, they all have a different swing of power. Melbourne City Council still that hamstrung in their planning and execution?
There's a massive business gerrymander. I mean, the reason why we got some protected bike lanes was because of a sort of an accident where the business lobby elected a well-established member of the Liberal Party as Lord Mayor. It just so happened that she was into bikes and wanted to put in bike lanes, and then she used the lockdown during the pandemic as sort of an excuse. She explicitly said, never let a crisis go to waste, we're going to put in bike lanes.
Yeah.
And so we got some protected bike lanes, but she never got a full term. You know, you don't get popular. And we'll go into the reasons for that later, you know, in a minute.
Yeah.
As to why it's not popular. I mean, it is popular, but it's not popular enough.
So it's not an ability to get things done that's stopping it. Is that what you're saying? So it's like the politics of, let's say, Eric Adams, who actually shut this down, or it looks like through his office they bribed somebody to actually, you know, change the plans. There's nothing like that going on. But there seems to be... what I'm trying to get at is there a legality or a limit to their power to actually get this done? I am hearing from you there's not. The limit is the political will to do it.
Absolutely. The state comes into the matter as well. So if you look at Queensbury Street, which lost a big wide bike lane while the Metro Tunnel was being constructed, it was promised to be returned. And the city's work program has that turning into protected bike lane. The plans were released for public comment over a year ago. Well over a year ago. Bike Melbourne's recently done an FOI on the correspondence on that. And the city wrote to the state with all the plans in 2024 and gave a timeline, which was they were hoping to get approval by the state in late 2024 and construction would start in the middle of 2025. Well, we all know that hasn't happened. There are no responses from the state government. There's been no further correspondence. The state is holding it up because they know that the Westgate Tunnel, once everyone gets back from holidays, is going to flood the inner suburbs of Melbourne with cars. And they're going to wait until Queensbury Street is full of cars, and then they'll say, oh, well, actually, we can't have a bike lane.
No.
Or they think they might say that. So that's why it's being held up. But the city, of course, there's no pushback from the city because they don't want to take space away from cars either under the new administration.
So it's politics.
Yeah, but you mentioned Sydney, where they also have a business gerrymander, which was forced on them by the state because the state apparatus looked enviously at Melbourne and thought, we can do that too. But just due to a quirk of the laws, the administration of the voter's roll is in the hands of the City of Sydney, and while they comply with the law, they don't automatically enrol businesses and they don't particularly publicise it, whereas in the City of Melbourne, if you don't enrol your company, then they will go to the ASIC records and find the company secretary and the director, managing director, and put them on the roll, whether they want to be on the roll or not, and then they have to vote. So Sydney is more dominated by resident votes, and so you have what you could call a democracy outbreak, where the duopoly of the Lib Labs or the establishment doesn't control the city. An independent has been in, Clover Moore has been in for years.
No.
You could argue that New York's recent election was a democracy outbreak to some degree as well.
Yeah.
But look,
just to pick you up on that point, it didn't stop them from putting a congestion charge in New York, which is really interesting because that was a place you would think they would not go. But that's gone through.
It was very hard fought.
Shit, I mean, yes, very well hard fought. But the same with the low traffic neighbourhoods in London and the emissions charges in London. Actually, Rishi Sunak, running into an election, actually was using it to actually say this is an anti-car thing. And actually, at some stage, Keir Starmer, this is pre-election, was looked like he was stepping away from it, just from a political point of view, because it seemed to them they instinctively thought this would lose them votes.
It's not so much that they lose them votes, it'll lose them donations from the wealthy and powerful.
Oh, there we go. Now we've got on to the important part.
But you've got to, when you're going to start comparing cities,
which is,
and outcomes,
yep.
There's a structural issue here. Sydney is denser than Melbourne. Denser. There's more people living in each square kilometre in Sydney.
And the city council has more power. It still doesn't stop the state government. Gladys Berejiklian, when she pulled up some of Clover Moore's bike lanes, demonstrated.
Yeah, it's the same interaction with the state. Yep. I mean, in Toronto, the state or province, as whatever it's called, has decreed that they've got to pull out a whole lot of bike lanes in the capital city against the wishes of the council. So same interaction. But look, what...
Just before you go on, Nick, I don't want to break your concentration. I'm going to put a link up in the on the podcast. You mentioned Toronto. There's a wonderful YouTuber who does a lot of very good videos on Canadian bike lanes. He's since moved to the Netherlands. So you're getting this great, actually, cross-fertilisation, and he's very good on picking up on Mr. Ford in Ontario and everywhere else. It's called Not Just Bikes. I'll put a link up on, but it really dissects what's happening in Canada at the moment as well.
Yeah, Not Just Bikes. That's that's good because... Can I talk about density?
Yeah. You'll have to make it dense, so.
Yeah. No, it's a pretty quick story, really. So we're comparing cities.
Yeah.
And Not Just Bikes. He's based in Utrecht, I think, now. Anyway, the big difference between Canadian cities and Dutch cities and...
And American cities.
And Australia city, Australian
and British
cities.
British cities.
Density.
Yep.
Right? That's the number of people living per square kilometre and the density of employment opportunities and shops and so on as well. We've just built a 100-kilometre-long new railway line. Well, most of it's not new, but the new tunnel. 100 kilometres, and it's called a suburban line. The density of population in New York, we've been talking about New York, is roughly 20 times the density of Greater Melbourne.
Yep.
What that means is that every tram stop or every inch of bike lane has got 20 times as many users in New York. The public transport operator... has to run 20 times as many vehicles, has to have 20 times as many drivers and trains and buses on the road in Melbourne to provide the same level of service to the people. 20 times.
And we've got a bigger urban sprawl as well, which makes it less dense. Yeah.
Well, that's why we're not dense. Yeah. So just from, you just can't spend that much money. And if you did manage to do it, we'd be broke. But if you did manage to do it, the distances are still fairly long. But so if you're riding a bike on a bike lane, if we did build a protected bike lane, you know, 1 kilometre apart on a grid, right across Greater Melbourne, you still have to ride further as well. So, look, that's really what I wanted to talk about today, that density is at the root of our problems. And we talked about why politicians don't want to build bike lanes. It's because outside of the crazy overdeveloped central business district of Melbourne, everything is single family, almost everything is single family housing, very low density. Everybody has a car. Everybody in Richmond has a car, you know, let alone Ringwood or Lilydale. And they just think bike lanes get in their way. That's really the nub of our problem. And it's a bit depressing to talk about on this show, but it's why it's so hard for us to make progress. And your point number four at the beginning of the show applies.
Take nothing to heart. Don't hanker after science and progress.
That's
sorry,
the one.
Nick, I got it. And it is correct. But you've got to keep an eye. Look, the reason why I quoted that, and I did preface by saying they're all individual cities. I'll say one thing. Paris, London, Sadiq Khan's been in since, 2014. You know, been in Paris. No, she'd been in Paris since 2014. She's been the mayor. So she's coming up to her 11th or 12th year. Sadiq Khan's been there since 2016. These are long-serving mayors who have got a strong power base that could get things done.
Sadiq Khan stopped progress on the bike lanes in the first few years that he arrived.
Yep.
And gradually got back onto it. the thing is, if you look at, say, if you look at London and Paris, they've improved a lot in more recent years. Paris is the poster child.
Yep.
Where there's now huge numbers of people cycling, and they're sort of, they're only in inner Paris, by the way. So, you know, you could compare that now to Copenhagen and so on. Why have they succeeded? Well, they needed to build the stuff, which they didn't have before, but it's filled up with, and there's lots and lots of people riding to get everywhere now because of the density.
Yeah. And there, it's an individual story because it started a little bit differently, and every change she'd made, she had a plebiscite on it.
Look, it started in Paris with the share bikes.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Doubled, and that's 20-odd years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Doubled the amount of cycling overnight.
Yeah.
And then within a couple of years, it doubled the number of people riding their own bikes because of that gateway drug. They used the share bike and they thought, shit, this is really good. So it's actually a long process.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, even in a dense city, if you don't start with it.
And even, look, I'm not, you know, higher parking fees for four-wheel drives in Paris. Another plebiscite.
Wouldn't that be great?
I know. But it's interesting that she, actually, the way it's set up in Paris, they have a plebiscite on these things. They have an open vote. Do you want this? Do you want that? And it's interesting that the response is usually in the affirmative.
Well, it would be here too, actually.
Yeah.
When you look at survey responses and so on. But they don't want to do that because their wealthy backers don't want it.
Well, on a losing note, so talking about, I'm not hankering after science of progress and I'm not finding fault anywhere. One of our biggest sticking points in Melbourne many years ago was Swanston Street. And we got that through because Robert Doyle put up five options and people voted for one of them, and that's, he said he was going to do it, and once that was voted in, it went in.
Yeah, I was a bit wrong when I said that they're not as popular in Melbourne because of people who want to drive cars, but it's mainly that the people who drive cars kick up a big fuss.
They've got a lot of voice, and, you know, if you look at places like Denver in America and a few other places, the Koch brothers tip in a couple of million, set up a couple of anti-public transport funds, and away you go. There's like you said, Nick, before we started, we could do this for 3 hours, but we're not. Because we've got a live show coming up.
We've depressed everyone enough.
We have, because I thought it was a dream, then I woke up and it was reality. Thanks, Nick, coming back in. So next time Nick's in, we're actually going to downplay a bit of the sad news, and we'll be doing a couple of film reviews.
Oh, fantastic.
Which just sounds good. Other than that, next show coming up is Voices, Stories of the Unemployed from Antinomy. That's all. Chris will be in next week. Take care.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.